Good morning. That's a good number. I'm delighted to be here. Hope you are. Music was great. Y'all have a lot of talent here in this church. Two bottles of water, does that mean 2 hours? No way in the world I could hold out that long. I remember back, it made me think of something. I remember back a long time ago preaching one time. I like just a few minutes, I think, preaching 3 hours. You don't want me to do that, do you? My grandson, Haddon, he's here with me this morning. It's good to have him here. And by the way, you unmarried ladies, he's available. How many of you were at the Cherokee County Camp meeting the other night when I preached? My, a number of hands. Okay. I wasn't expecting God to touch me like he touched me when I preached there the other night. My grandson told me I preached an hour and 10 minutes. I was shocked. I didn't realize that. All I know is, in that heat like that, I went back there after the service and I felt like I was going to pass completely out. God, I really bless you all for honoring your former pastor, a great man, Brother Andrew Kerrigan. You know what crossed my mind thinking about him here recently? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4 says, he being dead, yet speaketh. That's the verse that came to my mind. He being dead yet speaketh. He's dead, but he speaks. Still speaking. A great man. We'll see him again. His wife, Miss Bobby, is sitting back here. She looks like a picture of health. Be 90 years old next March. I said, you're not old, you've just been here a long time. Appreciate Miss Myra Smith sent me a book on his life, dealing with his life story. Well written book. So when I die, maybe you'll write one on me. You can probably sum it all up in one page. Well, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You hear about this faith healer? Put up a huge tent and packed it. He got up and preached a little bit, and then he did what he really wanted to do. He formed a healing line. He looked out over the crowd and he said, "Now if you want to be healed, come down here and get in line." So the man came down on crutches. He looked at that man, he said, "What's your name?" He said, "Harvey. What would you like for me to do for you tonight?" He said, "Well, I'd like to be healed. We won't have to use these crutches anymore." He said, "Well, step behind this curtain. Tonight's your night." He stepped behind the curtain. Another fellow came down and got in line. He had a bad speech impediment. So the faith healer said, "What's your name?" He said, "Harvey." He said, "Harvey, what would you like for me to do for you tonight?" He said, "I'd like to be here where I can talk plain." He said, "Well, step behind this curtain. Tonight's your night." So he stepped behind the curtain. Then he said to Harvey, he said, "Now, Harvey, put one of those crutches to that curtain." He did. He said, "Now drop it." He did. He said, "Now put that other crutch to that curtain." He did. He said, "Now drop it." He did. He said, "Now, James, say something." James said, "Harvey just fell." Well, we got to have a little fun. Need to laugh some. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot to cry about. Open your Bibles, book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 3. Try not to be long. I realize that it's a special occasion and you ladies have a meal over here for us. My mouth's already watering. I'm not going to read all this chapter. What I want to do is just point out that there are 10 gates found in this chapter. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1, "Then Elishab the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built the sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up those of it even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel." Then in verse 3, it mentions the fish gate. I'll just read that verse. "But the fish gate did the sons of Hasaniah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof and the bars thereof." Then in verse 6, "Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada the son of Paseah and Meshulam the son of Besodeiah. They laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof and the locks thereof and the bars thereof." Well, going on down to verse 13, it mentions the valley gate. Verse 14, the dung gate. Verse 15, gate of the fountain. Verse 26, the water gate. Verse 28, the horse gate. Verse 29, the east gate. Verse 31, the gate Methcad. 10 gates. There were 12 gates in all. But there are only 10 in this chapter. And I think that's significant because 10 speaks of totality, of completeness. I say a complete picture of the Christian life all the way from the new birth to New Jerusalem in these 10 gates. So I want to preach with the help of God for just a little while on the gates to the city of Jerusalem. Our lead us in a word of prayer as I pray audibly. Would you pray in your heart where you're sitting? I need your prayers now. You know I fight this vertigo all the time. Fighting it right now. So I really need your prayers. In not a well man. Our Father, our God in heaven, God, Father, come, God, to pray to you. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come to pray to you, the true and living God, the only God there is. Father, I can't thank you enough, God, for sending your precious Son to die on the cross to shed his blood to make atonement for our sins. And thank you, said your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, Father, I bow here in your divine, your holy presence, Father, please. Remember, God, that we're just clay and poor clay at that. Father, you know, God, that I'm not a well man. You know my limitations. But, God, you said your strength was made perfect in weakness. So you ought to be able to be really strong on our behalf because we're so weak. God, please bless your people in this service. Give me bread from heaven to feed your people, Christ, as well as bless us. And Father, if it's one they're lost in Jesus' name, save that soul. Please don't let anyone here die without God and go to hell. My Holy Spirit, help me. Give me fresh oil from heaven. Oh, God, please, God. We remember Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you. Then Holy Spirit, come up on me right now. Unctionize me. Lord, me, fill me. Help me, God. Please, I want to be a blessing to your people. I don't want to be up here preaching, just be preaching. Please make me a blessing right now. Oh, please, God. Strengthen us now. Again, fill me with the precious Holy Spirit of God right now. Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. I believe there's spiritual significance about everything that's written in this Bible. You take, for an example, there's spiritual significance in relationship to the numbers in this Bible. 5, number of grace. 6, the number of man. 7, the number of perfection. 8, the number of new beginning. And on you go. Even the metals mentioned in the Bible have spiritual significance. Gold is emblematic of the deity of Christ. Silver is emblematic of redemption. Brass, judgment. Iron, strength. So I believe there's spiritual significance in the names and the sequence, the order of these gates. Starts with the sheep gate, ends with the gate, Mithkad. No marvel it starts with the sheep gate. Only God could put a book together like this. This book amazes me. Amazes me. See, the Bible says in verse 1, then Elisha the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they built a sheep gate. They sanctified it, set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mir. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. The sheep gate, we call that the gate of salvation. Every lamb that went through this gate was carried to the brazen altar there at the temple where it was sacrificed to make atonement for the sins of Israel. Sheep gate reminds us of the fact that John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking, said, behold the Lamb of God that take away the sin of the world. He took my sins away over 50 years ago. Has he taken your sins away? Have you been saved? Sheep gate. This gate was near the temple for all practical purposes, because, as I've already said, the sheep were brought through this gate and carried to the temple for sacrifice. Another thing about this gate, in reading this, did you notice there's no locks and bars mentioned in relationship to this gate? When it comes to the fish gate, it talks about the locks thereof and the bars thereof. Says the same thing about the old gate and many of the other gates, but not so the sheep gate. Why? It represents salvation. And that gate's never locked. That gate was open when I got saved. That gate was open when you got saved. And that gate's open right now for you to be saved or not saved. Thank God. No locks and bars. If you die and go to hell, it won't be God's fault. Another thing about that gate, it is the first gate. No need of going to the fish gate until you've been to the sheep gate. See, the fish gate, you know what that's emblematic of? Soul winning. Well, how can you win somebody's soul until you know your own soul's been saved? So the sheep gate's the first gate. Reminds me of what happened back in 1924, and I wasn't around then, but I've read this. It's a true story. 1924, the Washington Senators and the New York Yankees were playing in the World Series. Back then, Washington had a team called the Senators. Now they're called what, the Nationals? Is that right, boys? The Nationals. Well, these two teams were very evenly matched, the New York Yankees and the Washington Senators. After having played six of the seven games, each team had won three games apiece. When they came to the last game and came to the last inning, the ninth inning, they were tied up 2-2. So you see, they were very evenly matched. At the top of the ninth inning, there was three up and three outs, New York. Then at the middle of the ninth inning, the Washington Senators came to bat. There was out, then there was another out, then there was a man came to bat. Believe it or not, his name was Goose Gosling. That was his name, Goose Gosling. Goose Gosling hit the fifth pitch, knocked the ball in the left center field, and started running the bases as hard as he could, knowing if he could get home before the ball did, the Senators would win the World Series and he'd be the hero. When he got to third base, the ball was already being thrown in. His manager was waving him on in. Everybody was saying, run, Goose, run. Run, Goose, run. When he got to home plate, he slid in. When the dust was settled, so to speak, Goose was seeing the catcher and the ball. But the umpire very emphatically said, you're out. The Senators fans thought, what do you mean out? He beat the ball home. The umpire just quietly walked over to the microphone and said, ladies and gentlemen, Goose Gosling was not tagged out at home plate. He missed first base. That's the true story that happened in 1924. Well, you get the message, you miss first base, you can forget about home plate. You can miss, if you miss first base, you can forget about heaven. Sheep gate speaks of salvation. Are you saved? you're born again. Next of all, we go to the fish gate. Verse 3, but the fish gate did the sons of Hassanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Looking at the fish gate, do you notice it has locks and bars? But the sheep gate, it doesn't say one thing about it, it has locks and bars. That gate's never locked up. That gate's open right now. Fish gate, that's the gate of soul winning. See, we go to the sheep gate, we get saved, and what do? We go to the fish gate, we go fishing, if you please. Jesus came walking by the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. You read about this. He saw Simon and Andrew catching a net. The Bible said, for there were fishers. He said, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So fishing in the Bible is a picture of soul winning. No wonder this gate follows the sheep gate. Because when people get saved, they won't see other people get saved. I know when God saved my soul, I went after them. I got a New Testament, still got it at home. It's nearly wore out. The pages are stained. It's coming apart. That's the New Testament I used over and over and over again and again back when God first saved me, telling people how to be saved. I talked to anybody that would listen to me. I talked to my friends, I talked to people I didn't even know, I talked to my kinfolks, told them about Jesus. Fish gate, the gate of soul winning. I hope you go soul winning. I hope you tell people about Jesus. I hope you invite people to church. I keep tracks on me. There's one right there. I pass out tracts everywhere I go. Everywhere. We live about 3 miles from Malden, South Carolina. And we do most of our shopping in Malden, get our groceries there. And my wife goes to Ingles and I go to Publix. But I pass out tracts. Everywhere go. I've been stopped in 5 different Cracker Barrels. I used to get upset and God convicted me about that. This Bible says be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. So now when the manager comes up to me and stops me passing out tracts, Cracker Barrel, I just, you know, say, okay. But if I ever catch him with his back turned to me, I'm going to pass out some more. But I passed out thousands upon top of thousands on top of thousands of tracts in my lifetime. And I enjoy doing it. I enjoy it. The devil don't like it, but God does. You'd be surprised how many great Christians about years ago were saved as a result of reading a gospel tract. All of them be Green. Most of you remember him. He was a great evangelist from Greenville, South Carolina. No doubt they printed millions of tracts. And he said they called them tracts. He said because they'll track you, and they will. I remember before I got saved, I read a tract by E.J. Daniels, a great, great evangelist back in those days. The tract was called Gambling with Destiny. I didn't get saved when I read it, but God really convicted me. God troubled my soul, see. So I hope you pass out tracts everywhere you go. I mean, that's easy to do. It's a simple matter. So pass out tracts and invite people to come to church. I I remember I was passing out tracts one time over at Ware Shoals. And a man came over where I was passing those tracts out, and he had a baby in his arms. And I said, "Have I ever given you one of these?" He said, "Yes." He said, "You gave me one of them years ago, and I got it down just the other day and read it. And God dealt with me. I got on my knees by my bedside, and God saved me right there in the house." That makes you want to pass out the tracts with both hands, amen. I remember one time I was passing out tracts from Home Depot. But what it was is I had to go there to pick up some supplies or something, you know. And I like to go to Home Depot. Got everything in there just about. So since I was in there looking for something, I passed out some tracts. Came up this older gentleman, you know, and big tall fella. I offered him a tract. He said, "No," like that. Rude. So I said, "Well, Jesus loved you and died for you," and I started to walk off. And you don't believe what that man did. That man turned around and looked at me. And here's what he said: "I know one thing, if you voted for Donald Trump, you're going to hell." I said, "What's that got to do with getting saved?" I could have said, if I'd have voted for that woman ran against him, I'd have sure went to hell. If you vote for that woman that's going to run against him in the next election, you'll go to hell twice, probably. God in hell. I know some people I'd like to put on an airplane and send them over to Baghdad and dump them out with a BB gun to fight with. Oh, we got a mess up there, Mark. God help. I tell you, you better pray. I really pray. Because we're in serious trouble in this country now. I don't have time to go into all this, but I've done my homework. I got thousands and thousands on top of thousands of books in my home, all through the house from one end to the other. I love to read and study. And I've done a lot of reading on the one world government. And that's where we're headed. That's the reason why they can't stand to hear Donald Trump say, "We're going to make America great." They want to destroy our sovereignty. They don't want America to be great. They want a one world government. Oh, God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. That one world government's not of God. That's of the devil. And eventually they'll have a one world leader, and you know who it'll be, don't you? You know who it'll be. It'll be the Antichrist. Sheep gate. The gate of salvation. Fish gate. Gate of sowing. Then there's the old gate. Found in verse 6. That's the gate of sound doctrine. Reminds me of Jeremiah 6:16. "That saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk there, and you shall find rest for your souls." Amen. I like the old paths. I like the old-fashioned way. I like old-fashioned preaching and singing and praying and shouting. I like the old-fashioned way. Amen. I like old-time religion, praise God. Amen. We don't need any rap sessions. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. I got saved on a preaching. When I got saved as a powerful preacher, preached the word of God. See? So I like the old fashioned way. Reminds me of what I understand to be a true story. This cannibal got saved. And of course, I enjoy reading books about the missionaries who've been to New Guinea and reached a lot of the cannibals over there. I enjoy reading books along that line. But anyway, this cannibal got saved. He had a Bible in his lap. He had a big pot of stew or something, and he was stirring it. And a skeptic came by. The skeptic saw that Bible in his lap. He said, "Oh, come on, man, you don't believe that old fogey stuff, do you?" That cannibal said, "I sure do. If I didn't, you'd be in that pot right there." Well, let me hurry up and get out. Next of all, we'll see the valley gate. That's found in verse 13. There's some valleys in this life. The valley gate, that's the gate of suffering. Most of the Christian life, most wonderful life there is, but it's not all. It's not a bed of roses. There's some suffering in this life. Some of you are suffering right now. Some of you are in pain right now. But you'll learn things in the valley you'll never learn on the mountain. You read Psalm 23. Starts out with green pastures, still water. But you won't finish that psalm before the psalmist said, "Yea, I walk through the valley as a shadow of death." Some valleys in this Christian life, some of them are deep. Some of us have been there. You'd be surprised how many people in this service right now came through a time in their life when they didn't think they were going to live. Reminds me of the great preacher who was a great physician before he became a preacher, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones. He said, "I've seen people that I thought should have lived die." Then he said, "I've seen people I thought were going to die live." See, this Bible says our times are in his hands. You stay right with God, stay in church, you're not going anywhere until God gets ready for you to go. Glory! We're in good hands. A lot of suffering in this life. Valley gate. Then you got in verse 14 mentioned the dung gate. All the city waste. All the debris, all the stuff. That needed to be disposed of was thrown out this gate. Into the valley of Hinnom where it burned day and night. Dung gate, that's the gate of separation. I still believe in old time separation. God said, "Come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord." Separation. We preach it in our church. We practice it in our church. You won't sing in our choir, ladies with a pair of pants on. Brother Finney was our pastor. You know, he resigned just recently. Brother Stephen Aldridge is our pastor now. Brother Finney would not even allow a woman to sing in our choir with a sleeveless dress on. That's towing the line. But I like it. I'm saying ever since God saved me, I like to have plenty of clothes on. You give me a bathing suit, I'll use it for a grease rag. Wouldn't I be a pretty thing with a bathing suit on, old bony? White legs look like two toothpicks sticking out of a watermelon. Thank God for plenty of clothes. Amen. Gate of separation. Then there's the fountain gate. The Bible says in verse 15, but the gate of the fountain repaired these folks. Fountain gate. The water gate, still water, speaks of the word of God. Fountain gate, running water, represents the Spirit of God. Jesus said in that day, that great day of the feast, any man thirst, let him come unto me, drink. The scriptures have said, he that believes on me, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water that spake of the Spirit. See, there's just such a thing in these days as being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's one baptism, but there's many fillings. You read Acts 2:4, these nine words, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31, a little later on, they prayed, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Same nine words, many fillings. Yesterday's filling won't do for today. Today's filling won't do for tomorrow. I constantly say, oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit, fill me with the Holy Spirit. And when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't even have to tell me about it. I'll be able to see it in you. Now, I didn't say I could see the Holy Spirit. He's invisible. But I should certainly see the evidence, the fruit, the results, if you're filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's one of the greatest needs in our Baptist churches in these days, is for people in our churches who are definitely saved, born again, to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. See, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you won't be able to hide it. It'll show. People will see it in your countenance. They'll notice it in your talk, in your walk. See. I mean, don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God if you go around and look like you're mad. There's an old sitting here in the old time. Don't tell me you're filled with the Spirit of God. One of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. You can't be full of joy and go around pouting and mad and holding grudges. No, God fill us with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Such a thing as being filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine when it says, but be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Let me hurry and get on. Next of all, the Bible says in verse 26, moreover, the Nephilim dwelt, and I fell unto the place over against the water gate toward the east, and the tower that lieth out. The water gate. That's the gate of the scriptures. And you're talking about an amazing book. This book amazes me. You don't find any repairs mentioned in relationship to skip to this gate, and no wonder, because it represents the Word of God. It don't need to be repaired, it just needs to be reread. Another thing, you know which gate the water gate is? The seventh gate. That's the number for perfection. Yeah, this book's perfect. There's no errors in this book. This is the Word of God. This is thus saith the Lord. And again, just to show you how amazing this book is, when Ezra read the Word of God, you know where he read it? In the water gate. Isn't that amazing? in the Watergate. Represents the Word of God. Let me hurry. Next of all, the horse gate. Verse 20, from above the horse gate prepared the priest to everyone over against his house. The horse gate. This is the gate of spiritual warfare. The horses and horsemen went out this gate to fight the Lord's battles. See, you go to the dung gate and get cleaned up. Then you go to the fountain gate and get filled up. And then you better put the arm of God on. Go to the horse gate. Because a Christian life is not a picnic. It's a battle. It's a battle. I mean every day of your life. In my life, it's a battle. Now don't misunderstand me. There's victory, thank God, in this battle. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God. You may be standing against the wiles of the devil. The Christian life is a battle. It's not a ball field, it's a battlefield. Don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with playing ball. I didn't mean that. I'm just simply saying, if you're going to walk with God and stay right with God, you're going to have to put the arm of God on. Because the devil's going to be after you. You say, well, the devil ain't bothering me. Maybe you ain't bothering the devil. The great preacher Charles Haddon Burton said, the devil never kicks a dead horse. If the devil ain't bothering you, you're not bothering him. Let me hurry up and get on. Next of all, the east gate. Down in verse 29, the east gate, it faced the rising of the sun. See, Jesus said, the Bible says, as the lightning shineth by the east unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The east gate speaks of the second coming of Christ. Thank God, I believe he's coming soon. I wish he'd come before I can finish this message. Does that bother anybody in here? Does it bother you that Jesus could come before the service is over? If it does, you may need to get saved. Last of all, we see the gate, Mithkad, down in verse 31. Mithkad, that's the gate of the seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Mithkad means to review, to inspect. When those horses and horsemen came back into the city of Jerusalem, they came through this gate and they were reviewed, they were inspected. And that's exactly what's going to happen in you. After the rapture of the church, we're headed to the judgment seat of Christ. Our work shall be tried, this Bible says. It says of what sort, not what size. At the judgment seat of Christ, see, we're going to be judged according to our attitudes and motives for what we did. See, why do you do what you do? Why do I do what I do? Why do you go to church? Is it because you love Jesus, or you just go because you feel like it's your duty? Why do you read the Bible? You read the Bible because you feel like you got to, or do you read it because you want to? Why do you pray? See, our motive. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bible says. And if the judgment seat of Christ doesn't mean anything to me and you now, it'll mean everything when you and I get there. God bless you. I'm through preaching. Would you stand on your feet? musicians will come.